Welcome everybody to the Family Tree podcast. I'm Helen Tovey, I'm editor of Family Tree, and this is Nathan Ward. So Nathan and I have worked together for a few years, but he kind of worked on and off on Family Tree until this year. And so this year, he's really focusing on Family Tree magazine, which is great. It's really cool to work with him across all the different things we do, like our webinars and our workbooks and everything. But you've guessed it, because he's been immersed in the family history world, he's now thinking maybe he should do some and he should start with a DNA test. And of course he should do some. Like, come on, Nathan, why haven't you been doing it before? Anyway, I'm really pleased you want to do a DNA test. And so what particularly kind of made you want to do it?
I don't think you're going to like my answer, really, to be honest. My main reason is because I want to prove that I'm a Viking. Literally about 15 years ago, and it's really shallow as well. 15 years ago, I went to Norway, and walking around Norway, everyone was speaking English, and we went into this restaurant, and it was a pizza restaurant, and the woman at the counter, who is this like really pretty Norwegian lady, was serving people and speaking English to everyone. And then when I got to the checkout, she started speaking Norwegian to me, and I was like, oh my God, she thinks I'm Norwegian. This is a massive compliment. And then I became massively obsessed with the idea that maybe I am Scandinavian and I've got some Viking sort of blood in me. And then it's always stuck with me. And in lockdown, I grew my hair long and started plaiting it and then storing pencils in my beard and things like that. I just, you know, really getting into the Viking vibe. And then the TV show Vikings, and that sort of prompted me to think about it a bit more. And obviously now working on Family Tree, I'm like, well, maybe I need to investigate this a bit more and do a DNA test and see if I am a Viking.
Well, I mean, yeah, being a Viking, that is it is popular to want to be a Viking. And so my surname isn't my actual surname, it's my husband's surname. It has a Viking origins. And so I've been there, been on this story a bit, because my husband wanted to be a Viking and both my daughters wanted to be a Viking. And it's a tricky thing to kind of want to be, because like the Vikings were a long time ago, weren't they?
Yeah.
So I just kind of want to, so what are you going to feel like, Nathan? Let's say you do this DNA test and you get your results back. And it, just to like spoiler alert, it's probably not going to say you're 100% Viking. So what's your...
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think I'll be disappointed. As long as I've got like at least 1%, then I'll take it. I'll be like, that's enough to prove I've got some Viking sort of ancestry.
There's a Scandinavian showing
up by a battle lamp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This is good, because I don't want family history to traumatize you, and you have to be a bit brave when you do family history, because you are going to find out stuff. It's as unpredictable as our real life families. You never know what's going to happen next when you're doing.
Yeah, I think as a child, at some point at school, we did a bit of research into surnames, and the surname Ward came up as like a French name in origin, something to do with like...
That could be interesting, yeah.
In like a century or a guard or something like that. And I kind of don't want to be French, but I guess that probably will come up. But it doesn't seem as cool as being the Viking, so...
Yeah. So when you do your DNA, it's a two-pronged approach, isn't it? So have you bought your DNA test yet?
I haven't, but I'm looking to buy one. There seems to be an offer on it at the moment, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, looking at Ancestry, that seems to be the one to go for. Yep. Maybe, I don't know.
It's definitely a good idea to look out for offers, and they do happen periodically. So, yeah, I would say definitely look out. Make sure you buy it at an offer price, not otherwise. And obviously in the autumn, that's good for offers, leading up to Christmas and Black Friday and all that jazz. And then the other bit is when you do your DNA, the DNA is so much more fun if you actually do some family history as well. So... what do you know about your family history so far? You could tell me a bit about the surname. What else do you know about your family history?
To be honest with you, it's like a little bit of a joke in my family that maybe we never left our local village. So we're all of Pudsey. So there's the chance that maybe that all my DNA will just say I'm from Pudsey, 100% born and bred. I obviously don't believe that, but it feels like recent history seemed very, very local. And I haven't really got much further back than that. I know my mum has done some research in it, but up until now, I've not been that interested.
So but that would be cool first steps to take, to chat to your mum. Have you got any other living relatives who you could...
Not particularly, no. It's thinned out quite a lot. So there's not that many people to talk to about it.
Okay, so this is even more important that you get going and talk to them. So it can be kind of quite, you're not kind of interviewing them and grilling them, but what you are trying to do is you're trying to get clues from them. So any names of people they know and places, and also the stories. Don't overlook the stories, because sometimes the stories have grains of truth in them. So if there's any stories about people who went off to war or people who did worked in a particular line of occupation or just daft, funny stories.
Yeah, I've definitely, like, again, as a child, sort of listening to my mum talking to other family members about it, there are definitely war stories. Someone might have been killed in a tank in World War II. That always seems to ring in my head that something happened. What else? Bizarrely, at my nana and granddad's house, there was always a coat of arms, a tartan coat of arms on their wall. So they think they've got some Scottish ancestry. I think it's McKay. I don't have any Scottish relatives, so I don't know where that's come from. So that would be quite interesting to look at some point.
Yeah. So I think you're
into the vibe.
You yourself are a detective. You're going to gather together all these clues, put them up on your evidence board, metaphorically, or you could literally do it. And then we see where you go from there. So you've got kids, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got two children.
Yeah, and so are they at all interested in... in your family history? Are you going to do it with them or more with your mum? What do you think it's going to work?
I don't think they're interested. My eldest son, again, without me, well, is it my influence? I don't know. He's obsessed with Vikings as well. So I think he'd quite like to have Viking ancestry. So from that perspective, if I do find that out, I'm sure he'll embrace that. He also used to have long hair and he works out all the time and thinks he's a bit of a warrior. So he'll like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my mum is my main source to go to here, I think, for anything I want to learn.
I think, yeah, mum with questions like, mum, what can you tell me? And you can ask her kind of precise questions. What can you remember about your parents? What can you remember about your great grandparents? What can you remember about any of their siblings? Have they had any siblings? And any clues that she says, write them all down. Don't think you'll remember them because you won't remember them. Because none of us remember anything. We always think we're going to remember it and then can't quite remember precisely. It makes life harder. So I think it's interesting as well hearing what you're saying about the Viking thing. Because I think with family history, it's we're not just tracing something. It's not like doing a history project. It's a really personal project. And it does affect your sense of how you see yourself. And it really impacts on your values. So sometimes you're going to find people who they're going to do things that you don't particularly like or have.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite fascinating already. Like literally I've come here thinking I want to do a DNA test just for jovial reasons. And that is obviously to see if I'm a Viking. But even in this small conversation now, I am feeling quite interested in my own family past, which all these little stories I've just mentioned, I've never really been interested in, but now it is actually quite intriguing.
Especially if you live in an area that you've got family from, you're really lucky to do that because straight away, once you start finding their names and addresses and things in the records, when you next go out jogging, you'll just accidentally find yourself doing a little detour down a street they used to live in or to a nearby village they used to live in or that sort of thing. And it's a bit of a kind of storytelling time travel thing. That's what I find if I'm lucky enough to go near where my ancestors lived. Because you just keep thinking about, not just thinking about the current world around you. It's a real escape. It's great. It's a great hobby to have. Yeah, like you could just escape into a different world, imagining what it was like then. And you're always getting more questions. Does it sound like it might tempt you, Nathan?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think I've just been so disinterested is the wrong word, but like, you know, paid very little attention when other relatives have talked about family history and the research they've done. I haven't been that bothered because I didn't think it affected me, but now it feels like there is a bit of a texture to it, doesn't it? Like that is part of your makeup and where you came from, so it will be quite interesting to find out.
Yeah, and I always think like if you like some people do like having the research done for them, and sometimes we all need help with our research, but when you do it yourself, it's a completely unique, different experience. It's so much more exciting than someone telling you like a 300-page document about your family. Then that's not a journey of discovery, like you're just reading someone else's work. Whereas when you do it yourself, you're piecing together little small bits of information at the time. And I'm really terrible for this. I'll get a piece of information and then I'll jump to massive conclusions and make up stories in my head. And then I'll get another bit of information which completely overturns this. And with my living family members, I don't like to think I am like this. I hope I'm not like this. But with my ancestors, I can be quite judgmental. I definitely have favourites and goodies and baddies. And it is kind of a bit of a roller coaster researching them. So you do learn about yourself. You learn that they become impetuous and judgmental, which isn't particularly good, but it's good to know about yourself, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I think that's an interesting thing as well, what you were saying there. Like, I think because I know my mum and dad did start doing the family tree, it has made me a bit sort of indifferent and almost lazy to it, thinking they've done it, so I don't need to do it. But I don't know the stories. I don't know the journey. So
yeah,
I do need to do it myself.
And the tree's just like the skeleton bit. So like a really handy skeleton map of the people who've been before. But then it's what you need to find out, or you just want yourself, but you'll be wanting to find out more, like, not just find out, oh, they were in the army in the Second World War, but you want to be finding out, so which unit and where did they serve and what happened and what was it like, and, you know, what were the casualty rates like? What did they have to train in? You're just, it's quite immersive. I think I am intrigued what you're going to find out next. So project one is go and talk to your mum and at the same time, keep an eye out for a DNA sale deal and get yourself a DNA kit. And should we reconvene?
Definitely, yes. And then we can trace me back to Ragnar Lothbrok. It's going to be amazing.
I'll race you there. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Okay, Helen. We've got a question from a reader come in. Hope you can answer this one for us. The question is, I was with my brother the other day and he said we should try and do our family tree. Like most people, doing this is probably born out of the fact that we don't know a lot, so makes starting very hard for us. Also, our parents are both Irish, so we are mostly going to be looking at Irish records. There are some Scottish ancestors that we know a bit about, and my grandmother has some English heritage.
Okay, so this person, they sound like a lot of us, like a lot of us in the British Isles. We're a bit of a melting pot, and so even, I think, you know, Nathan, you were saying that although you want to be a Viking, you suspect your entire family forever has always come from Pudsey. But many of us, we think you only have to live somewhere for a generation or two and then it feels as our family's been there forever, but they haven't. They've been on the move. So this person's got mentioned three different countries there, Scotland, Ireland and England. And although, we're kind of neighbouring countries, we've all got completely different record sets. So it's tricky. They're going to have to learn three different kind of sets of information. But the main step is the first one, which I said to you, just they need to chat to their any living relatives they've got, particularly ones who are older than them, even older siblings that you have, or aunts and uncles, any parents or grandparents who may still be alive, to get clues. And then if you can't get any clues out of your actual living family members, then you're going to need to hit the web and start finding all those concrete building blocks. So you're looking for birth, marriage and death certificates, census records, looking through old newspapers, that they'd be kind of the key bits which would be really helpful for getting going. And so, like we know, we mentioned about ancestry, which is really cool for DNA. It's also really good for records. Family search is really good for free records. And when we're thinking about Ireland and Scotland, so Scotland is fantastic because it's got lots of, so you're kind of going to wish you had Scottish ancestors, Nathan, because although you have to pay for all of the records, it's such a good comprehensive website going back about 500 years that it makes you feel as though you're much better at genealogy than you are, because it has so much there. It's really good. So that's Scotland's people for tracing Scottish ancestors. And for Ireland, there are some really good websites, so there's the Irish genealogy website, which has the digitized birth, marriage and death registers. So effectively, like what information you get on certificates. So for England, you'd have to buy a certificate, but for Ireland, it's just got it free online. Basically, it doesn't go back quite as far. It goes back to, I think, about 1864, but that could give this reader a few generations of their Irish ancestors. So they're looking in lots of different places, looking in the main key websites like Ancestry, Family Search, Find My Past, My Heritage. Family Search is good because it's completely free. So if you're starting out with your family history, free places are good to look, aren't they? For Scotland, they're going to have to pay. It's going to be Scotland's people. For Ireland, I think it's irishgenealogy.ie. Let me look up that URL because I can't remember it and I want to get it right.
That's a lot of places to start, though, isn't it?
Like it is. And I think the first place is to, because also it's a lot of places to start, and especially if you don't know much about your family. Let's say you only know your parents' names. Maybe you might not even know both your parents' names. Then you're really starting from like from a blank canvas. So you've got your name, and how you start is you start by looking at your own birth certificate, and if that has both your parents' names on it, then you've got those two names that you can add to your tree. You've now got three people on your tree: you, your mum, and your dad. And then you'd look for their marriage certificate, and that would give you, for England, that would give you both of your dad's father's name and your mum's father's name. So it's painstaking. It is a painstaking, slow thing, building a family tree, but it is exciting. But you do need to have some information to get you going. So you've got your own name, and hopefully that will be your little launch pad to get you going. But it could be that you don't know your father's name, which immediately you're going to be starting to either ask around the family, and if anyone can't help you there, you're looking at DNA tests and things like that. So yeah.
If I'm like going back to what I might be doing, obviously you've told me to talk to my mum.
Yeah.
Is there an element of cheating in that? Like, if I were to start today, I could write my tree down and get back to my grandparents and maybe a couple of my great-grandparents. But again, I would need to check the details. Am I missing a trick by not looking for this information myself, like checking out my grandparents' birth certificates, etc.? Or should I take it for my mum's word, like she's already done this, so she can get, because she could obviously get me much further back. At what point do I stop getting her involved?
You never stop getting her involved. So you're so fortunate your mum is alive and potentially interested in doing the family history, because what most people do is they don't ask their family members, or their family members aren't interested in answering the questions. And then times pass, people pass on, and you waste that opportunity to talk to them. So you're going to talk to your mum, and she some details she'll know really, really well. Like, it may be that she knows her own mum's birthday perfectly, that it's the 26th of September or whatever, but she might be actually sketchy about the year and I'm not quite sure actually how old your mum was, because sometimes people are much more private about their ages in the past. But she's going to give you information. Any information you get from anywhere, you treat as clues until you've kind of got it backed up, and then you go, okay, this isn't just a clue, it's evidence, it's actual facts. So it definitely, ask your mum, definitely it's not cheating. Definitely write down everything she says. In an ideal world, you'd keep really good records that go, this is the information I found, this is where I found it, and that your source is your mum, and that's fine. And then you could either just ask her directly, go, mum, are you 100% certain of these facts? And if she isn't, you know, to verify them, or even if you just get the hunch, you think, I think she's getting a bit sketchy now, or she said a different fact last time, because we all remember things slightly differently. We're not perfect, are we? So you might, it is a good idea to verify facts gradually, but for the moment, you're talking to your mum, you're building your tree. If you can get back to your great-grandparents, talking to your mum, or maybe even a bit further, maybe she remembers some, you know, her first cousins and things like that, get them on your tree, get anybody you can remember, because things like those first cousins, those sideways branch ancestors, they're going to be really helpful when it comes to working out your DNA matches. So any name she can remember across any branches, not just your direct lines, are helpful.
Mm.
And the last thing about chatting to relatives is, so when we go in the records, like the birth records and the census and everything else, we can get these facts. And if you've got a storytelling mind like me, I make up the stories. I, you know, imagine what it was like to live on the street there, what it was like to have that occupation. So you do, by gradually gathering more and more facts, you do get stories about your ancestors, even from the most dry kind of sources. But what you'll never find in these national digital collections, you're never going to find the funny stories. You're going to find funny stories that your grandpa loved riding his motorbike down the street and waking up all the neighbours in the middle of the night, all daft little things like that. So that's why you need to talk to your family members to get these really personal stories. You know, who loved dogs, who was great at making Christmas puddings, all of that. Just little everyday things. It doesn't need to be momentous. They could have cool momentous stories that they were a war hero or an amazing nurse or anything like that, or an artist. But it doesn't have to be that. It could just be that they make great gravy. Yeah.
Who doesn't like gravy?
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
You're not cheating. You're not cheating us, your mum.
Okay. It just feels like the lazy option, like, oh, and you've got a layer back as well, have you, Mum? Oh, I'll take that one as well. Oh, and you've got a bit further back. I'll take that one as well.
Yeah.
As opposed to going looking for it myself. Because obviously you've just cited loads of places that people can go and find Irish and Scottish and English records from.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's definitely not cheating. So family history isn't, there's so many different ways you can do it. If you think back over time, so the way family history used to get told, if you go back to your Viking thing, so if you went back to the Icelandic sagas, or even you went back to the Bible, the way family connections got passed on were all these begatting stories or the sagas, you know, where they would have the kind of the fireside tale mentality, and you're passing on the stories about the people who've come before you, passing on their names, the things they did, aren't you? And that's so family history, that's family history, all those Icelandic Viking sagas, that's all family history. And it's passed on orally, and it's only more and more recently, as people have become more and more literate, that they've written it down. So it's you're going back to the family history roots by asking your people. And today there's lots of cultures around the world who still, oral history is the key way to pass on family history. Yeah.
Okay, cool. As long as it's not making me too lazy.
Not at all.
I don't want to miss out like the research skills.
No, and you're going to have to get the research skills, because it could be, even let's say you didn't want to trace back ages and ages. Let's say you just go back a few generations, and there's so many different ways to look at family history. So some people gather it as a massive name and date collecting exercise, and they want to have a massive, massive tree with as many names on as possible. And that is a cool project in itself. Other people just want to trace a particular surname line. Other people are only interested in ancestors which came from a particular area. Other people go back a few generations, and then this is what I've done. So I trace back all my three times great grandparents, and I've traced back about a third of my four times great grandparents. So I trace back quite a lot of people, because you have, you have 8 great grandparents, 16 great great, 32 great great great. So suddenly that's a lot of people. So I've traced back all these people, and then I kind of, my next project was to find all my four times great grandparents, and partly it got a bit hard. And then partly just in conversations with my own family members, they would ask me questions about the family, and I'd realise that I had really sketchy knowledge. I'd kind of gathered these names, but when they asked me, so what was it like living in Victorian Liverpool? I'd be like, I didn't really have anything cool to tell them. And it was a bit embarrassing. And my kids would ask me, so were there cars then? I'd be like, And you suddenly realise what a boring database you are. And you've kind of got these names, but you haven't actually got any cool stories to tell. So for the last few years, I've been on Project Story, and I haven't really added anyone further back. I might occasionally just have a lucky break and add some people further back. But I've been partly on a project to build out the sideways branches of all my family. So all my ancestors' siblings, their descendants, stuff like that, because that's going to help me with my DNA matches, because your DNA matches are the descendants of these sideways branches, aren't they? So the descendants of the exact same branches as you, your siblings, yeah? And so anyone who doesn't have exactly the same branches going backwards as you, it's a sideways branch. And so that you're going to need to trace these sideways ancestors to match up with these DNA descendants. So it's useful doing that. But also...
Sounds like there's potential to go off on the tangent quite easily without realising it.
Yeah, definitely. So, Nathan, what sort of... person do you think you are? Like, how does your brain work? Are you going to be you kind of a methodical kind of person, or are you going to flit about, or a bit of each? I think I'm
quite meticulous and geeky, to be honest. So I do like the facts and the figures, but I mean, this has come as a bit of a shock, because I was just literally wanting to find out that I am a Viking and I can carry a battle axe. So from just that silly idea, now I feel after this talk, I've got loads of homework to do now. Talking to my mum, making lists, and obviously I need to order a DNA test as well. But
yeah,
we'll soon find out, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's good. If you're prone to being geeky and nerdy and meticulous, that's going to serve you so well. I'm not prone to that. I've had to learn the hard way. I've learned by thinking I'm going to remember it all, not remembering it all, writing things down in stupid places, losing the bits of paper. I've writing on digital files, losing it. I've learned to be methodical, like my filing systems and folders and write to-do lists. Yes, you're in a really lucky place. You're going to be flying, Nathan.
Oh, I'm tired already. It sounds like I've gone back to school.
Well, but that's the funny thing about family history. It is, it's not like school, but you'll find yourself learning about the weirdest things because you'll be so obsessed that you want to find the answer to a question that it'll make you learn about stuff that you never thought would be interesting, but you're so keen to get the answer, you'll do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, equally, I realise, like, just in this conversation, as much as I want to be a Viking, I actually don't know that much about, like, Viking ancestry at all. Just what I've seen on, obviously, Vikings in popular media. So I probably need to look at that as well.
And I mean, if you have got lots of Yorkshire ancestors, so that was part of the Danelaw, like, there were lots of Vikings knocking around. There's every chance that you will have Viking ancestors if you could time travel back and then time travel forward, and you would find that you do. But actually being able to prove it's really hard because for England, lots of the records kind of peter out in the 1500s. To be honest, it can be really hard to get back even before the 1700s. Get back to the 1700s, okay, and then it gets really tricky.
Okay.
It's not that you can't do it, it just gets hard. So partly the records aren't there, and then partly the DNA, because of the way, so your DNA is split each time, doesn't it, getting smaller fragments as you go back in time. So you're 100% you, you're 50% your dad, 50% your mum, roughly 25% of each of your grandparents, roughly 12.5% of each of your great-grandparents, and it gets smaller and smaller really quick. So you only go back a few generations, you're looking at like less than 1% of genealogically sensible DNA. So obviously you're 100% of your ancestors' DNA, your DNA hasn't come from outer space to you. It's come via your ancestors, but the segments get chopped up so small that it's hard to...
That's quite hard to wrap your head around, because like when you get smaller than one, you think there's nothing there. That's weird.
It's not nothing there. It's still something, but...
But minuscule.
Yeah.
How many generations would you get back for 1%?
There is a really cool table, which I can't quite find now, but it's, so let's say if we keep working it back, so we got back to, so great-grandparents is roughly 12.5% each. So two great-grandparents is going to be 6.25% each. Three times great-grandparents is going to be 1.8. Four times great-grandparents, you're under 1%. Yeah?
Right.
And that you're getting... that's kind of the outer reaches of autosomal DNA. So that DNA test you're going to buy from Ancestry, that's your autosomal DNA test. So do you know what that means?
Not really, no.
Okay. So so this is fun. You've got so much to learn. I'm so excited for you. So I knew a little bit about DNA. So basically we have 23 pairs of chromosomes. And for that pair, for each chromosome, so you have 23 pairs. So let's look at just chromosome one. You've got a pair of chromosome ones. And half of your DNA came from your dad and half came from your mum. So that's literally back to egg and sperm. So you have egg and sperm. Dad's got his one chromosome, his copy of chromosome one for you. And mum's got her copy of one chromosome one for you. And then they recombine like that, jumble themselves up. And so you end up with two copies of chromosome one. And on chromosome one, you're going to have a mixture of mum and dad. The other one of chromosome one, in the pair, you're going to have a mixture of mum and dad. And that's why you're unique, yeah?
Mm. Okay.
So your dad has two of his own copies of chromosome one. Your mum has two copies of her own chromosome one. But they're only going to give you one each. Otherwise, humans will get double the amount of DNA each time, don't they? So that's why an egg only has one copy of it and the sperm only has one. Oh, I've forgotten what the question was. This is autosomal DNA test. Yeah. So you have these 23 pairs of chromosomes, and that's it's going to test 22 of those. I think it's going to test 23 pairs. I think Ancestry does test 23 pairs, but the 22 of those are autosomes, which are just all of the other pairs of chromosomes apart from your XY or your XX. So that 23rd pair, I don't know whether it is actually chromosome 23. I need to find that out. Any one of the 20, three pairs of chromosomes that humans tend to have is the one which specifies your gender. So I have two X's and you have an X and a Y. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, my head's going to explode with all this in a minute, but yeah.
Yeah.
It does make sense.
It is. It's like a puzzle. And so, oh yes, because the autosomal tests, because that's, so you've got back to your fourth great grandparents and you're looking at under 1%. And so you can tell that you've only got, you're having small fragments. So after that, it gets too small on the whole to be able to prove from your DNA test that you're related to somebody. But you could, and you're just not going to necessarily match them because you get smaller and smaller chances. So let's say you've inherited one little segment from your fourth great grandparents, and your fifth cousin has inherited another little segment from your great grandparents. Your family trees can both be accurate. You can both be going back, have that fifth great grandparent on your, or fourth great grandparent on your tree, but you are not going to appear in each other's DNA match list. But it's not a drama. Nothing's gone wrong. It's just a small
amount. Right. Crikey, there's a lot to learn. That's quite confusing then.
I think I probably just explained it quite badly. What we can do is we can get some experts in to explain it better. Yeah.
That sounds good. I mean, honestly, my knowledge of it, apart from seeing what I've been doing in the magazine, isn't very good. And obviously, my core thing was to prove I'm a Viking. So all of this is very, very new. But it's interesting and exciting. I guess I wasn't expecting to find out more than Scandinavia.
There's going to be loads to find out. Even just old maps, just finding old maps of where you're placing now, if you know you've got family back from there. Okay, so I feel like we've covered quite a lot of stuff, and I'm actually really excited for you because you just got so much to find out, which is great. I am jealous. I definitely feel jealous about that. But I'm intrigued what your mum's going to tell you. And I'd be intrigued, how do you think she's going to find it? What do you think your mum's going to do when you turn up and start being interested in the family history?
I think she's going to overload me, to be honest, because she's mad on it. And she has got, in my head, files and files and files of the stuff. So there's going to be a lot to take in. So I kind of want to make it that she doesn't give me too much information. I want to sort of be able to digest it slowly. I don't want it to be like, right, we're going to go back 7 generations straight away. I'd like to slowly take it in. So I guess to start with, I need to just broach the subject with her and see the immediate family and what can get from that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're so right to just take it little by little, because that's, it gets much more interesting. All the interesting stuff is in the little details.
Okay, cool.
That's where the actual stories are.
Great. I'll make that my job then before our next session. I'll get myself a DNA test booked and chat to my mum.
Okay, intriguing. Or to catch you up and finding out what you're gonna have learned.
Yeah, I mean, as well as that, I'll probably go on Amazon and look for a Viking costume, but it's gonna be great.
Well, especially big horns, full axe, you want everything.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to be historically accurate at all. So,
And what about dyeing your hair blonde? Because I can't remember what they used to dye their hair. It might even have been urine. So how are you feeling about this?
I think that's a hard pass for me. I was up for it until the hour in part, but
yeah,
you've lost me now.
They definitely dyed it blonde with something because it stopped them having lice. So it was, all the thing about them being tall and blonde. They were tall and blonde, but they weren't genetically blonde, but they were tall and blonde when you looked at them because of how they dyed their hair to keep the hair clean.
All right, that's fascinating. I didn't need to know that.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah. Apart from the ER in part.
Yeah. Oh, what about mead as well? You fancy drinking mead? They loved mead.
I'll give it a go, yeah. There's often at the Christmas market, there's like a pub called Thor that they bring out every year, and it's like a Nordic sort of pub, so I'll go and give that a go.
Definitely, yes. Some mulled mead.
Definitely. Full head gear, everything. My battle axe, it'll let me take that in with me.
Yes. Okay, have fun then.